This weekend, we had May 1st, and so it begins the month of Mary, and we'll be having the May crowning of the Mary statue here after Mass. But in the communist world, May 1st was a major feast day. It was called May Day, and it was the feast day of communist workers. And in response to that, Pope Pius XII in 1955 instituted the feast day of St. Joseph the Worker on the 1st of May in order to rival the communist feast day and to present a Christian view of the dignity of work and to promote a Christian worldview. And since this is the year of St. Joseph that Pope Francis declared, I thought we'd look at that theme a little bit today. But beginning in 1846, every pope for over 150 years has warned us and the entire world about the dangers and the evils of socialism. So this is something that's been emphasized very strongly in church teaching. And this is a system that has perpetrated the genocide of tens of millions of people and wiped out entire cultures and groups of people from the face of the earth. And those genocides continue to this very day in communist countries like China. But communism was known for the brutal torture of thousands and thousands of priests and faithful Christians in the prisons of Eastern Europe. And people under socialist rule lived in fear of the secret police, the KGB. And there was a whole network of informants as people would spy on each other and look for anyone who was promoting or believing an ideology that differed from the Communist Party and what they taught. And so it was truly a reign of fear and one of the most evil and oppressive governments ever known in history. And it was St. John Paul II's visit to Poland that helped to break the hold that this fear had on the people. And his visit to Poland rekindled the faith and the courage of an entire nation. And when he visited Poland, millions of people flocked to him to be with him when he celebrated Mass. And for over 10 minutes, millions of people in direct defiance of the Communist Party were chanting, "We want God, we want God," again and again and again, as they were, you know, rebelling against their communist rulers. And it was in large part that event that encouraged people to start to break free from communist rule and gave them courage. And that led eventually to the fall of the Iron Curtain in Eastern Europe. And so if you're not familiar with that history, I encourage you to ask your parents or your grandparents who lived through that. And, you know, they can tell you the evils that this system brought to the world. But today we have forgotten the dire warnings that the popes of the past have given to us. And we've forgotten our history. And we're allowing the very evil that the church and the entire free world fought for over a century against to take over our country. And so it's important for us to know, first of all, what is socialism? You know, how do we recognize this system when it comes? And it's a system that starts with the promise of equality. You know, no one jumps on board because they're in favor of genocide and oppression. They jump on board because of the promise of equality. And so how is it that one person can live in a mansion and be wealthy and that other people right around them can be struggling to put food on the table? Can we not do better than that? And so socialists view the solution to that problem as empowering the government to redistribute wealth. Take the property from some people and redistribute it to others in a way that's more equitable. That way everyone can be equal. And so in socialism, the government is empowered with the authority to bring about an ideal vision that they have for society. And so it starts by the government offering a lot of free money, you know, free handouts, giving money to everyone. And so a lot of people jump on board because it's great at first until your country's bankrupt. And as this vision that the government tries to enforce on the people what pans out, what happens is individual rights are subordinated and they're eventually taken away altogether. And so to bring about this vision that the government has, the government needs to centralize power and overcome any individuals who are interfering with their vision. And so that's where individual rights begin to be taken away, whether it's the right to property or the right to free speech or freedom of religion. Anything that interferes with the government's power needs to be subjugated. And so as an example, you know, a country might say, we want free health care for everyone. And that sounds great. Who wouldn't want free health care for everyone? But what happens? Well, doctors might eventually be forced to perform abortions because that's the government's vision. And their rights to conscience are taken away. And doctors might be forced to perform transition therapies, even if it violates their beliefs. And then care starts to be rationed. And then eventually the government might decide to euthanize certain people because they're too expensive. And suddenly you have mandated euthanasia. And so what began as something that sounded great ends up something that is very oppressive and very destructive to the individual. So what are the fundamental problems with socialism? St. John Paul II criticized socialism because of its view of the human person. He says socialism treats the human person as a molecule that's subjugated to the good of society as a whole. In other words, you can do whatever you want to the individual as long as you're trying to bring about this ideal vision for society. But what Pope John Paul II emphasized, which is what we believe as Christians, is that human beings are created in the image of God. And there is no reason why it is ever acceptable to trample on fundamental human rights of individuals. You cannot kill people at will if it brings about a vision of society. You cannot cancel free speech or freedom of religion or take away people's right to property, which is the fruit of their labor, in order to try and bring about some preconceived utopia. I think another way of looking at why this is based on a very corrupt view of the human person. Can I say that my fulfillment as a human person comes if my bank account has the same amount of money in it as your bank account? If that happens, I'll be fulfilled. But if you have more money than me, or you have better health care than me, then we need to equal that out. And once it's equal, whatever it is, then I'll be fulfilled as a person. Well, that's obviously a ridiculous view of what brings fulfillment to the human person. It's a very materialistic view. And the reality is that human beings are not created for that. We are not created. Our purpose for existence is not to have an equal number of possessions as everybody else. Our purpose is for a supernatural end. We were created to know and to love and to freely serve God. That's what we're created for. And so why should we build a society that's built upon this goal of achieving something that's based on a corrupted view of human nature? When we recognize human nature for what it truly is, that we're created to be children of God, then the goal should not be to equalize possessions and take from some to give to others to balance things out. The goal should be to foster individual freedom so people can build strong families. The health of the family is central, and the good of the church. And people need to be able to freely live out their religion. And so a proper society is not going to suppress the family and suppress religion and individual rights through a massive government that crushes all other elements of society. Saint Joseph was a man with a great spirit. Even though he lived in poverty, he had very few possessions. And he did hard manual labor, and he did that to provide for the Holy Family. And there's great value and great goodness in that work that he did. That's why we celebrate the feast day of St. Joseph the Worker, because what he did was pleasing to God. We should earn what we have by honest work, not take it from others to equal things out, or not look with envy at what other people have and desire that for ourselves. We should be happy with what we have, and like St. Joseph, dedicate ourselves to hard, honest work. St. Joseph didn't care about establishing some massive socialist system that would redistribute things. He cared about doing God's will and providing and protecting the Holy Family. And so we shouldn't believe the false promises of socialists that say that they can solve every problem in our lives if they simply spend more money on it, or if we give them more power and authority over our lives. Our salvation comes from Jesus Christ. We have a Savior already, and He has done a very good job, and we do not need another Savior through the power of government. Societies flourish when individuals work hard, when they use their God-given talents to the best of their abilities and seek virtue like St. Joseph did, centering their lives on God and fostering strong families and virtuous churches and local communities. Society flourishes when we seek first the kingdom of God.